This is Chad Harrison, and you're listening to Hope Alive, applying God's Word to your daily life. Hi, this is Chad Harrison, and I am the teaching pastor of Lake Community Church and have been serving as a pastor for 25 years. I'm also a practicing attorney. This podcast is designed to help you study God's Word and find God's will for your life. I pray in the name of Jesus right now that God would open up His Word to you and allow you to see Him and to know Him and to know His will, that you might glorify Him and that you might walk in faith and power each and every day, especially today, in Jesus' name. Good morning. Welcome to Lake Community Church's Morning Bible Study. We're in Exodus chapter 35, and we're in verses 1 through 3. And what we've been doing is we escaped from Egypt. We got out of Egypt. We had all that went on to get out of Egypt. Then we come to the desert, and God leads us out. You had the Red Sea thing, too. And then we come to the mountain. God gives us His law. There's a rebellion. And by the way, there's going to be another rebellion. There's going to be a separate rebellion that'll come up a little bit later. But there is a rebellion, and that rebellion is against God. They want to make a golden calf, so they do. And then God renews His covenant. And remember, before that covenant was made, God was giving Moses instruction about how to build the tabernacle. And there was all kinds of instruction about it. They didn't have it totally done exactly right. And we have all the things that need to be done to make the tabernacle right. And we spend the next 4 or 5 chapters talking about how to do it, how to do worship, how to do this relationship with God correctly. And so there's going to be a lot of information, a lot of knowledge about how do we do this thing we call worship? How do we do this thing we call relationship with God? And it's going to be a lot of symbolism, because obviously all these things represent something that is spiritual. The temple, the tabernacle, represent the throne room of heaven. It is a picture of us and our spiritual man, the spirit that's within us, that both lives just like God does, both lives in heaven and on earth, lives dimensionally in both places, and so does our spirit. Our spirit has direct access to the Father, and we have access to Him, but we live in these physical bodies and in this physical world, and so normally and always oriented toward that. And as we study through this, you need to see the spiritual side, not just the physical side, because all these physical things are pictures of spiritual things, especially when you get into Leviticus and all the sacrifices that were made. These sacrifices are pictures that point to aspects of what Jesus's sacrifice on the cross has done for us. And so so many times we narrow it down and we don't think about the depth of what God's done for us, what God wanted when he gave His Son on the cross. And so you got to think about these things. You don't have to, but if you don't, you're not going to dive deep into the depths of what's going on. And the first thing that Moses says in chapter 35, after he's gone through all these regulations, he says, "Then Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together and said to them, 'These are the words which the Lord has commanded you to do.'" These are the Ten Commandments. These are the commandments of God. He says, "Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh day you shall be holy, a holy day for you." That is what Sabbath means. The Sabbath is an Alabama way of saying it, but Shabbat means Sabbath, and Sabbath means Shabbat. Shabbat, he says, "It shall be a Shabbat, a rest to the Lord. Whoever does any work on it shall be put to death. You shall not kindle no fire throughout your dwellings on the Sabbath day." Now, there's two things that I really want to point out in this passage that I think are of great importance. First of all, I think it very stark that the punishment for breaking the Sabbath is death. That's stark. It's very stark, and I guess in many ways you could say it's somewhat disturbing. It is a shocking way of looking at this. But I think it's important that you understand that's true of all sin. That's what sin does. For the wages of sin is death. And that's what Romans teaches us. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Ultimately, all sin, or remember, sin is missing the mark in the New Testament. That's the picture. You're not in the center of God's will. You're outside of God's will. And when we're outside of God's will, when we're out of Christ, we're not in Christ. We're living according to our own will and our own way. When we're doing that, when that's going on, we're living in darkness. We're walking in darkness and not in the light. And so when you look at this passage and you look at it in its depth, and when you look at what God's doing here, he's telling them that anything that is separate from me is death, especially that which is designed to have and to give you relationship with me. The Sabbath, as Jesus would later on say, man was not made for the Sabbath, but Sabbath was made for man. And what does that mean? What he's saying is we don't make the Sabbath what we worship. Man was made, was given the Sabbath so that he might worship God. And oftentimes you'll see that the Jewish people do make it this stark and they do make it this hard because they don't realize, I think they do realize, that it was made for them to have a relationship with God. In fact, I'm pretty sure they realize that after hearing many of them talk about it. Is, and anything that is outside of God's will is sin, but anything outside of a relationship with God is death. It really is. It's slow, painful loss and death. And God wants to make it that stark and that intense and understanding. Because when it's an intense understanding like this, when it's something that you just look at it, you go, wow, it is, that's how God dealt with it. You also understand that this is the God of grace and mercy. This is the God of hope and love. In fact, we talked about that yesterday in church, that the Holy Spirit holds back the wrath of God until the day of God's wrath. But that being said, God wants you to know, wants you to understand that when you live in ways that are intentional separations from you, from him, outside of his will, because when we're outside of his will, we're outside of his relationship. We're not walking in that. It's death. It's death. And then the next verse is odd together. God just said, if you work on the Sabbath, you shall be put to death. Huh. Then he says, whoever does, and that's what he says, whoever does work on it shall be put to death. And then he says, you shall kindle no fire throughout your dwellings on the Sabbath day. Remember, fire is always a picture of the Holy Spirit. We've got the picture of the Holy Spirit at work. Fire can also be a picture of judgment, but it relates to God's people. It's always a picture of the Holy Spirit and his bringing about the unction of God. That's an old idea that it's an old word that we don't use anymore. It's the welling up of the Spirit of God inside of us. That's what the word unction means. And it is God welling up inside of us. He says our God is an unquenchable fire. He is because he builds these things up in you. Now notice, he says, you shall kindle no fire throughout your dwelling. That's where you live. That's where you're at. Okay. You shall kindle no fire throughout your dwelling where you're at. You don't make a fire. Wow. And as we look at this, you think about it, you're pondering it, you're considering it, and you're saying, what does that mean? Where I live is where I'm at. Okay. That's where I'm at most of the time. That's my intimate place. That's my home. That's where all the aspects of who I am. That's where I rest. That's where I have all of God's best right there. He says, you shall kindle no fire throughout your dwelling on the Sabbath day. Why? Because God wants to kindle the fire in you. He wants a day separated from work, separated from focusing on the things of this world, a day where you can sit back and have fellowship with family and friends, and that's really with the kingdom of God, and more importantly, have fellowship with God. And then as you have that fellowship with God, God kindles in you a fire, not a fire that you make for yourself, not a fire that you well up on your own, a fire that God kindles in you. a fire of his redeeming grace, a fire that burns out all that is not God. It refines us. It makes us holy. And so he says, you shall not work on the seventh day. That's a Sabbath unto God. And it's a Shabbat set aside for God. And if you do, you shall be put to death. He says, and by the way, don't make a fire in your house. I'm going to be the fire in your house. I'm going to be the one who is the focal point of what's going on that day. So many times we fail to do that. And we treat, in really a lot of ways, we treat it as a common thing to meet together with God and to set aside God's day for worship. We do. And we do it to our detriment. And in many ways, we do it to the death of the other things that are in our life. This is a Monday. We just got through worshiping yesterday. And great service, great crowd. It's the weekend before the weekend school starts. School starts here in Tallapoosa County next Friday, this Friday. And it's one of those days where if you were tempted not to gather, you might not. And that happens a lot. And remember, we're not under the law. And God is not going to have us put to death if we don't show up to church. But the spiritual principle is still in place. And it can't be removed. And it won't be removed. And even though you feel like it's something you might need to do or want to do, and listen, I'm going to miss church 2-3 times a year for things that are going on. But when we make it an active, regular part of our lives, we actually make it ruinous for our lives. We take away what is God's best, and we sow death into it. We really do. And the kingdom of God is not a static kingdom. It either is advancing or you're separating yourself from it. You're either moving with it or it is moving away from you. And all that is necessary for it to move away from you is for you to not put yourself in a position where you can hear from God, see God, know God. And it's really easy for that to happen in our lives. Really easy. The kingdom is either carrying you along to greater and higher things, or you are sitting outside of it and it is moving on past you. And the only thing that the variable in the matter is you. It's not God. It's not how he works or how he operates. He's a constant. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. In the math equation, he's not one of the alphabets. He's not A or B or C. He is the constant. He's the number. And you're the variable. And when you look less like a variable and more like a constant, meaning when you are regularly, actively doing the things that God has told you to do and instructed you to walk in, when you're doing that, you're moving with the kingdom of God just as fast as the kingdom is moving. And that's what he's always wanted for you. And that's what he wants today. So as you go into your week, and it's going to be a hot week in Alabama, it's August. We are starting August tomorrow. When you go into this week and school begins at the end of the week and we're moving on into the new school year, we're moving on into the new calendar year as far as our schools are concerned. Colleges will be kicking off soon and all that. Remember, the kingdom constantly moves forward. It constantly advances. And don't allow anything to put you in a position where you're missing out on the kingdom advancing so that you might be a part of something that ultimately is never going to advance anywhere. As you go today, I pray that the Lord will bless you and keep you, that he'll make his face to shine upon you, and that he will give you hope and peace today in Jesus' name.